Evening once again to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This is the third and last message at this time I'll be bringing from this chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And tonight we're down to verse 22. I mentioned last time that this chapter contains what the Apostle Paul calls his folly. He asks for their indulgence, that they would bear with him. You see that in verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly. And we have seen what he meant by his folly, and that was boasting in himself. Boasting in himself. This was necessary because of the false apostles who had come to Corinth, false teachers, and they, by their boasting, would undermine the authority of Paul and also the legitimacy of the gospel of the grace of God. We ended the message last week with his four words in verse 21. If you notice, he said, I am bold also. The false apostles, the false teachers, they were bold. They boasted in their heritage, in their character, in their learning, and in their work. Paul says that in being bold, he would be speaking foolishly. Notice that in verse 21, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak, howbeit, wherein soever any is bold. Now notice, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Paul confessed several times in this chapter that what he was doing, he recognized to be foolishness. That is, bragging, boasting of himself. These false teachers, they boasted in their heritage. And so he begins, are they Hebrews? These false teachers, they came to Corinth. No doubt they were Jews who came from Jerusalem. And they had a certain amount of clout just being Jews and coming to this Gentile church, and would be impressive and deceptive at the same time. Are they bold? I am bold also. They bold in confessing that they're Hebrews, that they can trace their heritage, their lineage, all the way back to Abraham. Well, so am I. He goes into more detail, of course, in the letter of Philippians along this same line. Are they Israelites? Are they? Are they children of Jacob? Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. They boasted in their heritage. Well, Paul said, are they Hebrews? So am I. They boasted in their ministry, their work. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. And then he begins through the rest of the chapter a long list of the various sufferings that he had experienced as a minister, as a believer, and as a minister, as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He lists a number of things to the end of the chapter. And John Gill made this comment. They, that is the Corinthians, could compare notes as they look at this list that the Apostle Paul wrote out to them. John Gill said the Corinthians, they could compare notes with Paul and these false teachers and see on which side the superiority lies. Compare notes between Paul, the Apostle Paul, and these false apostles and see on which side the superiority lies. Now, I'm not going to go through this list. We've read through it, I believe, before in another message on 2 Corinthians recently. I know that most of us here are familiar with the list. It's a very long list. And certainly it goes into detail the number of ways the Apostle Paul had suffered for the gospel, suffered for Christ in preaching the Word of God. Once we know they stoned him, and obviously he either was dead or they thought he was dead. That's the only reason they stopped throwing stones at him. And the believers came out and circled around him, and God raised him up. Many believe that's when he was caught up to the third heaven, which we will see in the next chapter, the Lord willing. But I want us to look at the last thing he mentions. If you look down to this chapter to verse 32 and 33, the very last thing he mentions in this long list of sufferings, being beaten and suffering, shipwreck and a night and a day in the deep and on and on and on, imprisonments. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. He put this last. In this list, he put this last, but this was one of the first, if not the very first, experience that the Apostle Paul had as a believer suffering for the cause of Christ. He writes this last in this list, but this had to be one of the first experiences he had. I want you to turn back with me to Acts just a moment, Acts chapter 9. And here, his name is Saul. Here, his name is Saul, the Pharisee, proud, religious man, boasting in his heritage, boasting in his works, and desirous to do everything in his power to stamp out the name of Jesus Christ. Well, you know the story, how as he was making his way toward Damascus, he saw that great light, and that light was Christ. Who art thou? I am Christ, whom thou persecutest. But notice, remember, he was blinded by the light, and they led him into Damascus, into a house, and God spoke to a man there, a disciple there by the name of Ananias, and told him, you go and you say these words to Saul, and you baptize him. And you know the story, Ananias, he was afraid to go at first because Saul's reputation had beat him to Damascus, and they knew what kind of a person he was. And do you remember what our Lord, in comforting Ananias about going to visit this man, the Lord just simply said, he prayeth. He prayeth. Well, look, when Ananias came in to him, you see this in verses 15 and 16. I've got to get in the right book, first of all. Acts chapter 9, verses 15 and 16. But the Lord said unto him, that is, unto Ananias, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Now notice, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. These are the words that Ananias was given to speak to Saul of Tarsus. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now if you notice in verse 20 in this chapter 9, the scripture says, and straightway, I mean he didn't waste any time. He didn't go to seminary. He didn't go off to seminary. No, straightway, the scripture says, he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. He immediately began to preach Christ and him crucified. verse 16, or rather, verse 22. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Now, Scripture says immediately, straightway he began to preach in the synagogues that Christ is the Son of God. If you look, keep your place there at that text, but look to the first of this chapter 9. In verse 2 it says, he desired of him, that is Saul of Tarsus, desired of the high priest letters to Damascus to the synagogues. This is where he was going. Had the letters with him from the high priest, giving him authority to persecute, to arrest, to charge. Notice that if he found any of this way, what way? The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He had letters. He was going to the synagogue if he found any of this way. And now he's in the synagogue. In the text we read here in verse 20, straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, the way. The way. Who is the way? The way is not a program. The way is not a denomination. The way is not certain things that you learn, certain steps you go through. No, the way is a person. The way is the Lord Jesus Christ. He immediately began to preach in the synagogues that he, that is Christ, he is the Son of God. Verse 22 said, Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But notice now, this is the last thing in that list there in 2 Corinthians 11 that he listed, what is recorded here. But their laying in wait was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. That must have been the first persecution that he experienced. And yet he mentions it last in this list in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Again, if you will, the Apostle Paul felt compelled to engage in this folly of boasting, bragging on himself. It is folly for every child of God. It is repulsive to every child of God to brag, to boast on himself, because it is inconsistent with grace. It flies in the face of grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. It's inconsistent with grace. It's repulsive to a child of God to engage in such folly as boasting and bragging on self. Our heritage, our works, our accomplishments, whatever they may be or may not be, whatever, it's inconsistent with grace. Look at the question he posed to the Corinthians in the first letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory, boast, brag, engage in folly, as if thou hadst not received it? Everything about a child of God, everything about a Christian has to do with God giving and us receiving. As the question is, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Everything about a believer, everything about a child of God is God giving and us receiving. What do we have that we have not received? In Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, the apostle said, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things?" What do we have that we have not received? And they've all been given unto us freely. That means graciously, doesn't it? Grace, they've been given unto us freely. Well, tonight, I want us to look at five verses of Scripture which speak of God giving and us receiving. God giving and us receiving. And remember the question Paul asked, "What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" The first scripture is in John chapter 3. And these words are the words of John the Baptist. John chapter 3. And verse 27. John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing." Now, nothing's a big zero, isn't it? Isn't that what it is? A big zero. "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." Now notice in the context here of that verse. Let's read verses 26, 27, and 28. "And they came unto John," that is his disciples, "and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all come to him." John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him." It seems that the followers of John, his disciples, they were jealous for John. They were envious for him because the large numbers of people who had come out to hear John, the crowds, they now were leaving John and they were going to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. John, he was not displeased at all. He was not displeased. He was content in God's providence. He knew and he confessed that whatever he or any other man had in the way of grace was by God giving and him receiving. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. All that a child of God has, all that you and I have tonight, those of us who know Christ as our Lord and Savior, all that we have is by the Lord giving and us receiving. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not? The next verse is in John chapter 1. Look back just a page or two, and the word that connects all of these verses together is the word receive. Receive. A man, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. I'm talking about nothing in the way of grace. Nothing in the way of salvation. Nothing in the way of knowing ourselves. nothing in the way of knowing Christ, the Son of God. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Now this next verse, John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, the scripture says, well, let's read verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him. As many as received him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The experience of salvation and the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ dwelling in us as children of God is by God giving and us receiving. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? You've received Christ. The scripture here said, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood. It's not because your parents were believers that you are a believer. Not at all. Nor of the will of the flesh. Not because others have prayed for you and desire your salvation and will you to be saved. And it's not because of your will, which is fallen also, but of God. God gives, man receives. That's just grace, isn't it? That's all there is to it. It's just grace. All right, let's look at a third verse of Scripture tonight, if you will, in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. I think most of you probably have Bibles that have a marginal reading, and this is one place where the marginal reading is the correct reading. It's not atonement, but it is reconciliation. By whom we have now received the reconciliation. The reconciliation means peace with God. And the reconciliation, you being reconciled unto God, if you are, it's all about God giving and you receiving. It's all about God giving and us receiving. God giving his only begotten Son. The eternal Son of God as the Christ giving himself on the cross. So that by the blood of his cross we might have peace with God. We might be reconciled unto God. It's by the Holy Spirit bringing us to believe in him, to trust in him. He said, no man can come to me except my Father which has sent me draw him. And it is God, the Holy Spirit, who draws and brings his sheep to the shepherd. What hast thou that thou hast not received? You see these three things? Man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. To receive Christ, to believe on him, is to be born of God. To receive the atonement, reconciliation, is through the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ. Now here's a fourth verse in Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. And these are the words of the Apostle Paul as he was meeting with the elders from the church at Ephesus, knowing that persecution and tribulation awaited him. But he said this in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, "But none of these things move me." Oh, the people there, they were crying, they were weeping, they were desiring that Paul would not continue on his journey to Jerusalem. They knew what was going to happen, bad things, as far as they were concerned. Paul said, "None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy." Now notice this, "and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." The ministry of Paul was God giving and Paul receiving. And this is true of every child of God. Every child of God has a ministry of some kind. And this ministry has been given unto us. We tend to think only of preaching as ministry, but that's a big mistake. Every child of God has a ministry. Every child of God. As I thought about this, I thought about this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, thinking about the fact that we all have a ministry, and we've been given this ministry. God gave, we receive. Grace. And it is grace, isn't it, to be a servant of the Lord? Like he needed us? Of course not. Of course not. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul said, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation." Now, is he saying here that God only comforts apostles? That God only comforts ministers of the gospel who are in tribulation? Of course not. Of course not. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, whoever we are. And tribulation is going to come. How through much tribulation we must enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's what Paul testified. "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." This is a ministry, isn't it? A ministry of comforting others. Others who are going through tribulation. Others who are experiencing suffering, we comfort them with the same comfort with which we are comforted. Now, how have we been comforted? With the Word of God, first of all. The Word of God comforts us. Remember that verse in 1 Thessalonians 4 at the end of the chapter, Paul said, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Comfort one another. The Word of God. What comfort does the Word of God bring to those in affliction? We read that psalm at the beginning of the service. I've been thinking of one verse especially there. "Weeping, weeping may endure for a night, but joy, joy cometh in the morning." That doesn't mean tomorrow morning, maybe, or in 2 days, but we may be sure joy cometh in the morning. It may be the morning of the resurrection. I don't know. But I know that's a statement of fact. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Now, here's the last word. Receive in 1 Peter, if you will. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. So the ministry we've received, whatever our ministry is, we've received it. Can you see why Paul called boasting, bragging, folly? Everything we have, we've received. And it's been given to us freely by His grace. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. As every man hath received the gift. Now, when we receive a ministry, and we all do, then we receive the gift, the grace, whatever is needed for that ministry. We don't go to warfare at our own expense. No. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Amen, amen. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? In John chapter 15, our Lord spoke to His disciples about Him being the vine, the true vine. And you remember He said, without Me, you can do nothing. Everything that we have received. And all that we need in the ministry that He gives unto us, we receive from Him. Abide in Me, and My words in you. We abide in Christ so that we may minister and receive everything that we need for the ministry. Well, I pray that the Lord would bless this message to all of us here tonight. It's just another reminder to us, isn't it, of the wonderful grace of God. Wonderful grace of God. Amen.